Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 223 at 26,616. Yeah, it's another record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And whenever the Dow Industrial Average hits a record high close, we have a celebration at the Money Radio Megaplex. Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays the celebratory theme music. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. Usual suspects are there again today. James, good to see you, sir. James has the Dow 26K baseball cap. Rest of the gang there, Wes, Crespin, Renee, Chris, Marcus, and Gerard. All right, everybody turns on their flashlight from their cell phone, and of course, they begin the procession down the hallway to the Money Radio Bistro, where they will enjoy cookies and milk. That's how we celebrate. It's nice, it's wholesome, it's good. And we're doing it with Costco cookies because, you know, buy them in bulk. As many records as we've been having, buy them in bulk. That's a good thing. S&P 500 up 33 at a record high, 2,872. NASDAQ Composite up 94 at a record high, 7,505. Russell 2,000, small and mid-cap stocks up 6. At 1,608, not a record. Close, but not a record. Oh, by the way, we're going to have cookies tomorrow at Financial Fest in the 2 o'clock hour for the Financial Review All-Stars. Cookies for you, the listeners. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 4 basis points at 2.66%. Oil up 62 cents at $66.13 per barrel. And gold up $2 at $13.50.30 per ounce. So more record highs for Wall Street. For the week, the Dow up 2%, S&P up 2.2%, NASDAQ gained 2.3%. Intel, big winner in the Dow, up over 10% after posting strong earnings with strength in their higher-margin data center business. Intel shares at their highest levels since September 2000. Drug maker AbbVie gained about 13% after boosting its 2018 earnings forecast, a little help from tax reform, and announcing it will accelerate dividend growth and share buybacks. Fourth quarter earnings growth for the S&P 500 now estimated at 13.2%, according to Thomson Reuters data. That's up from a 12% estimate at the start of the year. Dollar, though, on track for its worst week since May, after comments from U.S. senior officials this week backing a weak currency. More on that in a moment. The first estimate of fourth quarter gross domestic product growth came in at 2.6%. Now, that was short of expectations. It ended a run of two quarters of plus 3% growth. Still a solid number. The economy grew 2.3% for the year. That's well ahead of the 1.5% growth in 2016, but it is slower than 2015. Consumer spending accelerated to a 3.8% annual pace of growth in the fourth quarter. It's the fastest pace in almost 2 years. Americans spent more on new cars and trucks, clothing and healthcare, and other things, of course. Business also got into the act. They increased spending on equipment by 11.4%, while investment in new housing jumped 11.6%. Reduced inventories and a big trade gap shaved 1.8 percentage points off fourth quarter GDP. Now, falling inventories might not be a problem. There are two reasons inventories drop. It could mean businesses growing more pessimistic about the future and cutting back their stockpiles. Or it could mean that sales were strong in the holiday shopping season and businesses did not adequately forecast demand ahead of time and had to sell out of their stockpiles. Imports up 13.9%, easily outpacing a 6.9% increase in exports. Higher oil prices played a key role. Consumer confidence is high, the unemployment rate is low, businesses are investing more. it all bodes well for the economy moving into the new year. Separate report shows durable goods orders accelerated 2.9% in December, led by higher demand for airplanes and autos. The burst in new orders at the end of last year, mainly for large commercial planes. Bookings jumped almost 16%. Orders for autos also rose 0.4%. Business investment, meanwhile, slipped 0.3%. That's based on a closely followed measure known as core capital goods orders. Despite the small year-end drop in core orders, businesses ramped up investment in 2017, fastest pace since 2011. The United States is firing a series of volleys over world trade agreements to explicitly protect U.S. industries. Trump took his America First message to the world's elites in Davos, Switzerland, saying the U.S. would no longer turn a blind eye to what he described as unfair trade practices. Trump became the first sitting U.S. president in 18 years to address the annual conclave of the rich and powerful at the Swiss ski resort of Davos. Trump took the stage backed by a marching band. Sticking to the teleprompter, Trump declared the U.S. open for business. He said he would always promote America First, as he expected other leaders in the world would do the same on behalf of their own countries. But he swiftly turned to a theme of demanding tougher enforcement of trade rules, accusing unidentified countries of unfair practices. Trump wants the world to invest in America and buy American, saying, "We are creating an environment that attracts capital, invites investment, and rewards production." But global trade is a two-way street. If they buy our stuff, we have to buy some of their stuff. Now, Tuesday's State of the Union speech is expected to put trade at the top of this year's agenda. Last year, he scuppered TPP, and now he's pushing to rethink and possibly walk away from NAFTA, as well as setting in motion two major investigations, one into China's intellectual property practices and another into steel tariffs. This week, the administration also slapped 30% tariffs on washing machines and solar panels to show it was prepared to put words into action. What's more, there's widespread concern in Europe the tax reforms themselves breach world trade rules on fair competition between European multinationals and U.S. counterparts. And speculation is rife. The IP and steel investigations are now in and will form the basis for more action. Well, the dollar index has been in a year-long decline, defying forecasts that it would strengthen from the fact that the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates and normalizing monetary policy faster than its counterparts. But the opposite has happened. The dollar weakened as flows increased into the euro and yen, as those economies improved and central bankers in Europe and Japan provided accommodation. Then, this week, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin claimed dollar weakness was good for the U.S., a sentiment quickly walked back. But the market continues to sell the dollar, and selling could accelerate if the administration takes broader trade actions that are seen as protectionist. NAFTA is a test case for how the U.S. may behave on the broader world stage. Even as Trump says he wants a strong dollar, his administration's policies, which focus on eliminating and reducing trade deficits, suggest his administration would prefer the dollar to stay weaker to boost exports. And while a weaker dollar makes exports from the U.S. cheaper abroad, which should mean more sales, it also means U.S. financial assets lose value. Why would a foreign investor buy U.S. treasuries when the dollar is dropping 10%? Janet Yellen holds her final meeting as head of the Federal Reserve next Wednesday, with the dollar on its weakest run since 2010-2011, when the Fed was printing money hand over fist. Jerome Powell has already won confirmation as the next Fed chair. Look for a passing of the baton and no change in monetary policy. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut all announced that they have launched a coalition to sue the federal government to challenge the recently passed tax bill and its reduction in state and local tax deductibility. Governors of the three states said in a statement that the tax law changes unfairly target states whose residents have come to rely on being able to deduct big local tax burdens from their federal tax returns. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy called the changes a clear and politically motivated punishment of blue states like New Jersey and neighbors who already pay far more to the federal government than they receive. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has also pledged to launch a repeal and replace strategy and to explore the feasibility of a major shift in the structure of state tax policy. Sears is at risk of defaulting on its debt, according to credit rating agency Standard & Poor's. And that sent Sears' already battered stock to record lows today. S&P downgraded Sears' holding to the lowest rung of junk bond status. Sears is trying to get some lenders to accept late payments on $1.3 billion of its debt, and S&P warned that if lenders agree, it expects to downgrade the retailer further to SD, which stands for selective default. The company owed a total of $4.4 billion as of October 28th, the most recent figure it's disclosed, so it's trying to delay payments on roughly 30% of its overall borrowing. Shares of Sears holding down 20% in the past 2 days of trading. It's already lost 29% of its value so far this year after a 61% plunge in 2017. Even if Sears does default, that does not necessarily mean that the company will file bankruptcy. They still have assets they can sell. It's not clear that Sears' strategy is to file for Chapter 11, but it is a further sign that Sears is struggling to survive with its current debt load. Bombardier has scored a big victory in a trade dispute with Boeing involving Delta Airlines jets. The U.S. International Trade Commission rejected Boeing's claims that Canada's Bombardier had sold C-Series planes below cost in the U.S. market and discarded a Commerce Department recommendation to slap a nearly 300% duty on sales of the jets for 5 years. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 223 at a record high, closed 26,616. The S&P 500 up 33 at 2,872, and the NASDAQ up 94 at 7,505. Records across the board today on Wall Street. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, text, audio, and much more, all for free at eatthebankers.com. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow in Scottsdale for Financial Fest.